spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the All Arizona Daily Download. Nothing but Arizona news stories on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Number three.
The Red Sea is parted.
Let's just call it what it is. It's more of a little trickle, maybe a splash, because it's not a Red Sea.
The Red Puddle
is
parted.
Sounds better.
Cardinals will allow 1,200 fans to attend the October 25th home game against the Seattle Seahawks. Season ticket holders will have first dibs on tickets, which will be limited to 2 tickets per season ticket holder. Seating will be staggered with 600 fans on each side and seats blocked off with zip ties to enforce social distancing. Masks will also be required. This is the first home game that will have fans with the exception of close friends and family since the start of the season.
So, why can other states and cities have, like, hey, we're going to have 25,000 fans or 15,000? I mean, we seat 60, 70,000. We can have that. And out of that 1,200, what is it, 900 or something like that is going to be family and friends of the players. So, really, it's 600.
I mean, we're doing better than other states, even though our numbers are kind of going up a bit. And it is something to be concerned about. But we're not like the other 40 states.
No.
That are having a really hard time with COVID.
Man,
so, I don't know.
All the years, kind of exciting. Team's pretty good. Monday Night Football? I mean.
Well, isn't it interesting that they opened it up for the Seattle game?
Yeah.
Because nobody, I mean, when it comes to Cardinals fans, we hate the Seahawks.
Yeah.
We hate them. But I don't think 600 fans is really going to make that 12th man be a really big difference.
Because they've got the real 12th man in Seattle.
Well, yes.
We kind
they
of
do.
Had like the.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to answer your question.
0.5, man?
Why not have 20,000 people?
I don't know.
I think the tough part of that would be is, you know, how do you get people not to tailgate? How do you get people not to sit on the grass outside? How do you get people to... It becomes more of a cluster.
Well, because what you do is you don't open the parking lot until an hour before kickoff. Or an hour and 20, like your tickets based on certain things, you have to go directly in. There's ways of going about doing it, but you know, it's I don't know. It's what
I'm telling you. I think.
Oh, are we looking for the Cowboys over here?
Well, the Cardinals' schedule gets tough. Now they're going to play the Cowboys Monday night,
then Seattle,
and then there it goes.
Then you got to play the best player in football. And Russell Wilson, not even close.
He's the best player in football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
So, but. I don't know. Maybe this is just something for the Arizona Cardinals, a soft launch to get more people in the stands at a later date.
We'll see.
The All Arizona Daily Download.
Number two.
Hello, Texas.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And pot.
Oh. You guys want to get high? So we got a couple bills out there. We got a bill for this thing, 208, right?
207-208.
207-208. And earlier today, we were like walking around. But you see the signs everywhere, right? Like, vote yes, vote no, vote no, vote yes. Confusion is. Here's the thing. 208. This is raising money through taxes on the top 1%, the high earners. And this money, in theory, will go to the schools. Prop 207. It's about weed and making it legal here in the state of Arizona. And they'll raise money as well. So you have the yeses and the noes. Yes, you want to raise taxes, and yes, you want weed. No, you don't want weed, and no, you don't want taxes. I'm a solid no on one and a yes on the other.
I'm against the weed, and I'm reluctantly for the tax.
And you flip it for me. And yeah. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do any of that stuff. Let grown-ups make their own decisions when it comes to their body.
So here's the deal. If you look at the polling, how will Arizona go? Because in the past, we voted against this pot proposition. On the invest in ed, raise taxes to get schools money.
It's always invest.
55% yes, 39% no.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that look like that's a done deal? All right, let's go
Of course. Hey, I love voting for... I think if you're in the bracket, then you should have the chance to vote for it than anybody else.
I 100% agree with you that this the one thing I can't stand about this, there's just certain few who have skin in the game.
Yeah.
And that is a bad way to do this. The only reason that I'm for this prop is our schools are just bleeding out. We got no,
and that's why a sales
no
tax, because here's the thing. When you go and do a tax like this, as we see with Donald Trump, but many other people, you can figure out how to hide money. You can figure out how to do things and write certain things off. And so you're beholden on how much you think you're going to get based on certain projections. And as we all know, it's never what you think.
Yeah.
And we're also in a pandemic, and we have a massive, massive issue when it comes to employment and all of this
stuff.
So a sales tax to me, and they were for it. We, you know, we're going to talk to...
Is there a better way to do it?
Sales tax.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Will we ever get to that better way? I don't know. By the way, legalized marijuana?
Oh, man.
A yes, 55% to 37.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Woo!
The All Arizona Daily Download.
Number one.
Pinzone's opponent did what?
Okay, so Jerry Sheridan. There was an incident, so let's try and figure out exactly what happened a few years ago.
I will run the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office the way I finally will be able to.
Sheriff's candidate Jerry Sheridan touted his experience in a recent debate. But did Sheridan's friendship with a certain detective cloud his judgment and impact the integrity of investigations? Detective Brian Makowitz was a favorite of Joe Arpaio and Sheridan for many years. Along the way, Makowitz received awards and commendations. But, according to MCSO records, Makowitz crossed ethical lines many times. He had sex with three victims of crimes Makowitz was investigating between 2012 and 2016.
All right, and then Sheridan wrote a letter of recommendation for that detective. Is that the kind of detective that you want? Guy that sleeps with three victims? I would say no. Here's the thing. We've been talking about this.
Did
election.
He know that he had slept with them? See, that's just it. So let's say somebody does that, but I don't know he's done that, and I know him to be a great worker. I know him to be all of those things.
It seems like there's paperwork that says that's the case.
So
wouldn't you think that Sheridan would know?
Well, maybe he knows now.
Maybe.
In 2018, after they had both retired, Sheridan wrote a gushing two-page letter of recommendation for Makowitz, stating that Makowitz demonstrated compassion for crime victims, and he understood the importance of ethical behavior. The praise from Sheridan seemed to pay off. According to Brian Makowitz's LinkedIn page, he now works as the Director of Criminal Justice and Business at Brookline College in Arizona.
All right. Here's the thing. When Joe Arpaio was the sheriff, and there was all this chaos and craziness, in comes a guy like Paul Pinzone, who's calm. He's not in front of the cameras. What does this remind you of, right?
Yeah.
And now we've got an
story.
Now we've got an election.
Yeah.
That you've got the craziness and the chaos with Donald Trump.
Pinzone's not going to lose.
He's what?
He's not going to lose.
I don't think Pinzone's going to lose, no. Because I think here in Arizona, we've looked to see what Joe Arpaio did. And by the way, Joe Arpaio did a good job for a while.
Until he started to believe his own press and became
exactly.
the caricature
exactly.
that
then he went off
he
the rails.
Yeah.
When he went off the rails,
he became a celebrity.
Yes, and it took a little time for us here in the Valley to figure that out, and that's why a lot of us went towards Paul Pinzone. We're seeing that in the general election now.
Absolutely.
The chaos of Trump. Do you want the chaos of Arpaio? You want someone a little bit more stable in Pinzone? Do you want someone a little more stable in Biden? Not a great, you know.
Yeah.
But if that's what it is, man.
It is.
The people want chaos and craziness? After a while.
You do for a while.
They don't.
And,
yeah.
and sometimes you need something.
You can
something.
Shake it up and do that. But after a while.
It's time to move on.
It might be time to move on.
All right. The Arizona Daily Download is brought to you by all this Friday. Parker and Sons Plumbing Electrical, the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award. Mm. And still much better drivers than I am. Once again, earlier this week, I was smashing it.
Hey, at
on the freeway.
3:30 and 4:30, we're going to talk Prop 208, pros and cons, okay? But coming up next.
Coming up.
Which town hall did you watch Thursday night? Or did you watch that other thing that was on TV? We'll talk about it. The Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
At 4:05, some are calling it the second wave of COVID.
I've heard third wave.
Some are calling it the third wave. What is the, what in the?
How do we even quantify the wave if it's never gone anywhere?
First wave is a big wave. I don't know if there's a second wave or a third wave, but everybody's calling it the second and third. How is that? We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about this herd immunity.
The rogue wave, that's true.
Okay. Well, let's see. Last night, the Trump town hall, thought it was much more interesting than the Biden town hall. Gee, I wonder why. Trump's a more interesting guy.
Yeah.
Trump you know, he spews a lot of crap, and it's more entertaining, and it gets your attention more. So you and I watched both. Biden, very calm, very safe, very, you know, vanilla. And then you got Trump, and you never know what's going to happen.
The one thing you know is whatever's on his mind, it's coming out.
Right.
So you're going to get the straight skinny on whatever's on his mind, where we're so used to measured, you know, especially after 8 years of Obama, who was, well, you know, he was procrastination like you could believe. He at times, he was so measured that it was analysis by paralysis that a lot of people got frustrated with.
Well, it took him 5 minutes to answer the question.
Yeah.
So last night, here was one of the more cheery moments.
Good evening, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, you have a great smile.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
So, he does. You're so handsome when you smile. Okay.
Thank you very much. By the way, when I saw that, I never in my life have seen him smile like that.
Yeah, he's got a good smile.
But
his veneers are nice.
When's the last time you saw him smile from ear to ear? I don't know if I've ever
seen him smile. He's always goofing around and laughing.
I don't know, like that. So, like, you know, the funny thing is, like,
because it's behind the mask.
No, it's definitely not behind the mask. So people are picking that out and they're saying, oh, Trump had such an easy time last night.
Well, settle down.
It was like that CNN, Joe Biden and Anderson Cooper town hall, which no, you and I
nothing
just,
was like that.
That was a joke.
We've asked your entire family to be here to ask you questions.
That wasn't even softballing Joe Biden. That was putting it on the tee. No, that was one of the lighter moments from Trump yesterday. But, I mean, it was back and forth with him and NBC's Savannah Guthrie. And I was wondering how she was going to come into this, because usually you don't want the moderator or the interviewer to necessarily be the story. You want to see if you can get something out of the candidate. I think Savannah Guthrie watched the first debate, saw Chris Wallace fail. He tried, don't get me wrong, but fail miserably. And she said, I'm going to take charge. And she got a lot out of the president. And so I thought that was really good. I thought she was combative at times. But I think with Trump, you have to be. You cannot let anyone come in and totally dominate you. So I thought that she was good. And I thought that we got stuff. Like, did you learn anything? I mean, I learned a few things.
What did you learn?
Well, what's the SEAL Team 6 ridiculousness?
Well, I got sent that like 3 days ago by crazy people.
But that
Joe Biden magically, they faked bin Laden's death, and then Joe Biden had SEAL Team 6 murdered.
Murdered. And this is what he's been going on about.
Yeah. And he tweeted it out. He retweeted it.
You have to call him on that.
Yeah.
And Savannah Guthrie did. And it's just a ridiculous
crazy uncle.
It's just, yeah. Let's play that one. Let me get that one here, because it's a pretty good one. Here we go.
Just this week, you retweeted to your 87 million followers a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden orchestrated to have SEAL Team 6, the Navy SEAL Team 6, killed to cover up the fake death of bin Laden. Now, why would you send a lie like that to your followers?
You retweeted it.
That was a retweet. That was an opinion of somebody, and that was a retweet. I'll put it out there. People can decide for themselves. I don't take a position.
You're not like someone's crazy uncle who can just retweet whatever.
That was a retweet. And I do a lot of retweets. And frankly, because the media is so fake and so corrupt, if I didn't have social media, I don't call it Twitter, I call it social media, I wouldn't be able to get the word out.
So he's the one putting fake news out there.
Well, yeah, he sees something that says this will damage Biden. He puts it out there.
Right.
He doesn't see it. He didn't watch it. He didn't do any of that stuff. I got sent it 3 times the other day, and I'm like, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen.
It's a slap in the face to SEAL Team 6 that he would even give this
anything. And they came out and hammered him, by the way.
And one of them is a huge Trump fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So but I don't get when Trump does stuff like that. It is a total turnoff. I mean, do you really think that Joe Biden has that kind of power? That he could fake the death of bin Laden and orchestrate it and set it all up? And Trump just claims, well, I didn't know anything.
He probably didn't even look at it. Just says, we'll destroy Biden. Okay. Yeah. But then on the other side, stuff that actually has real implication and real world implication, when they asked Biden, he gave you the worst answer.
I have not been a fan of court packing because I think it just generates what will happen. Whoever wins, it just keeps moving in a way that is inconsistent with what is going to be manageable.
So you're still not a fan?
Well, I'm not a fan. I didn't say it depends on how this turns out. Not how he wins, but how it's handled.
If they vote out before the election, you are open to expanding the court?
I'm open to considering what happens from that point on.
He won't answer the question.
And that has real-world implications. When you have 9 people that could become 12 people that can override the voters, and remember, I think it was it Jefferson or Jackson said that they should be the least threatening and do the least damage of all the branches of government. Mm. And they're now becoming the most powerful branch because guess what? They have the true final say.
Up next, Prop 208 says it will tax the rich, give that money straight to teachers. Why is that a good idea? We're going to talk to someone from Yes on Prop 208 next.
Arizona's news station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
All right, let's talk Proposition 208. It's a tax on incomes exceeding $250,000. It'll go towards teacher salaries and school initiatives. So a lot of people are talking about this. Here is the argument against 208.
Prop 208 would generate about $900 million a year for schools through a 3.5% income tax increase for high-earning Arizonans. Jaime Molera with No on 208 explains why he's against it.
The biggest reason is that it would create a tax structure that would be one of the highest in the country.
And one that he says would hurt small businesses. He also worries there's no accountability.
Taxpayers deserve an opportunity to make sure that their resources are going to things that are effective for academic achievement.
All right, that's the argument again. Let's get the argument for Prop 208. Joining us now is David Lujan, and he's the spokesperson for Yes on Prop 208. David, how are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So why are you a yes?
Well, over the last decade, no state in the country has cut more funding from its public education system than Arizona. And our schools are operating today with less money than they had in 2008. And we're feeling the ramifications of that in the form of one of the worst teacher shortage crisis and some of the largest class sizes. So Prop 208 is designed to address those issues and get schools the resources they need. And also, I would point out just in your lead there, it will not give us one of the highest income tax in the country. In fact, we will still have the effective tax rate that is below the national average, below most other states.
Yeah, David, a lot of people come here, though, and bring their money here because, well, quite frankly, especially from California and places like that, because we do have a low tax rate. And I look at this and I say to myself, we're in the middle of the worst economic downturn we've seen in the history of forever. And you're asking people for money. And I feel like I've been down this road. Oh, yeah, that's right. I lived in California for 40 years. And every year they say, hey, we just need a little bit more money and a little bit more money. And it's never enough. And I have a feeling this is a start of a little bit more money all the time.
Well, I would say that, for example, if you're a married couple in Arizona making $650,000 in taxable income, you're still going to pay less state income taxes in Arizona than you will in 34 other states with Prop 208. So this isn't going to give us, you know, some outrageous top income tax. And I would say, you know, Arizona has basically been cutting taxes for the last 20 years. It's very difficult to raise taxes. In fact, it hasn't been done in the state legislature in more than 20 years. And so the only way to raise taxes effectively in Arizona is by going to the ballot. And that, as we have seen, it's been very difficult to do that. So I don't think we're going to become a high tax state. And I think the most important thing is getting the resources to our schools is good for the economy because that's our future workforce.
David Lujan is joining us, spokesperson for Yes on Prop 208. I'm a yes on it, but I don't like the way that it was put together. I don't like that only one portion of Arizonans are going to pay for this. I never like that. Arizonans, by the way, don't like that either. They don't like tax hikes, period, but they also don't like, well, pay your fair share. That's a big Democratic talking point. I've never really liked that. But I still believe that we need to put some sort of money into our schools. And if this is the only way to do it, I guess I'm going to go yes. Arizonans don't like these type of things. So why do you think it's going to pass?
Yeah, and I get that. And here it is. You know, I mentioned that over the last decade, No state has cut more from our public education system than Arizona. And in many of those years, the legislature kept cutting taxes year after year. Mm-hmm. In 2011 and 2012, for example, the very years they were making the largest cuts to education, the legislature also passed the largest capital gains tax cuts in state history that primarily benefited the top 1%. And so what happened when they did that means the other 99% of us have to shoulder more of the cost for funding things like our public education system and roads and healthcare. And so that was just one example. And there's many examples over the past two decades where that top 1% have benefited from many of those tax cuts that everyday Arizonans haven't received. And so it's made our tax code very upside down and unbalanced. And so that's, I get that people don't want to have like a tax that's just going to one group, but that's actually happened through our legislature over and over again, that benefiting that top 1%.
David, where's all the guarantees? Is it all in writing? None of this money can go to anything other than education. It can't go into the general fund because you see it around the country with props all over the place where, oh, hey, remember when we said we were going to do that, raise that tax, put in this? Well, we used other things.
Prop 301 in Arizona was stolen by the legislatures.
Yeah. So is that all in writing? Because that's another big fear that everybody has.
It is all in writing, and anybody can go to investined.com and read the language if they want to do that. But it's very specific. And I think one of the key things about Prop 208 is it goes into a separate fund that the politicians at the state capitol cannot touch. It goes from the Department of Revenue, who collect the taxes, to the state treasurer, and then the treasurer distributes it directly to the school districts. And if you read the language in the initiative, it's very specific on what school districts can use the money for. It's very clear they cannot use it for any administrative costs. And also there's language in there that says that the legislature cannot use these new dollars to supplement existing funding. So they can't, in other words, say, oh, well, school districts, they're going to have this new money for 208, so we'll cut over here. It's very specific that they can't do that.
David Lujan, spokesperson, yes, on Prop 208. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you for the opportunity.
At 4:30, we're going to talk to somebody who is a no on Prop 208. So we're trying to give you both sides, all right? It's about teachers. It's about taxes. It's about schools. It's about your kids' education. It's also, you got to put in, it's about the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's everything. It's a very, very important proposition. So you just heard from David Lujan, who is a yes. At 4:30, we'll hear from someone who is a no on Prop 208. Coming up next.
Coming up.
Arizona has a huge teacher shortage. We just talked to Kathy Hoffman yesterday. She said almost 30% of classrooms
28%
don't have a teacher. A
lot of teachers retired that had medical issues, and I get that. And it's some of them are just like, I can't do this anymore.
So let's try and help out teachers. We've got this killer program out there that you can actually participate in. It'll help teachers. We're going to tell you about it next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
You know, we're all about helping teachers here in Arizona, the Gatos and Chad Show. You know, there is a huge teacher shortage. We talked to Kathy Hoffman about that yesterday. Was it 28%? 28% of classes do not have a teacher.
Mm-mm.
So, can we help teachers? Well, there is a terrific program out there that actually you can participate in. We want to tell you about that now. Joining us is Jeff Mishi, and president, CEO, Desert Financial, and a life member of the Fiesta Bowl Yellow Jacket Committee. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for doing what you're doing. Tell everybody what you're doing and how you're helping schools and teachers.
Well, today is the last day for teachers to apply for a grant with the Desert Financial Fiesta Bowl Charities Wishes for Teachers program.
Okay.
And it's open to all teachers, K through 12, public and charter schools across the state. And we're going to select 200 of them to receive a $2,500 grant for their classrooms.
Nice. That's awesome. So what are the criteria as far as teachers? Is it all teachers? Is it teachers, we want to make sure that these teachers apply for this because, as you know, they need it.
Absolutely. So you go to the website, www.wishesforteachers.org. There's a brief application on there. It's mostly contact information from the teacher and their school and what they wish for. And we've seen some really unique wishes over the years that we've been doing the program, but nothing gives me greater pleasure than to make that phone call and say, your wish is being granted.
It's awesome. Hey, keep up the good work and let us know how it goes, because I know tomorrow is the last day, right?
Yes, I think it is right through tomorrow. So you got to get your applications in. And
what's the best way to do that?
It's an online form, very easy to fill out. Takes about 10 minutes. I pulled it up myself yesterday just to look at it. And like I said, mostly contact information. And then what you wish for. A lot of teachers wish for technology for their classrooms. Obviously, that's a handy thing these days. Some of them wish for money for a field trip, you know, things of that nature. We even had one teacher, I'll never forget this one, who wished for new eyeglasses for all their kids in her class whose family couldn't afford them.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, these teachers really, and I'm sure they would come out of pocket for something like that if they couldn't raise the money. So we're Desert Financial is very happy to help out. We love partnering with the Fiesta Bowl. And I think this is the fourth year we've done this program. And it's always well received.
Great. Hey, wishesforteachers.org. Thanks, Jeff. Wishesforteachers.org. Go there, fill out the application. Takes 10 minutes. It's awesome.